Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to your weekly episode of Yellow on Air. Yes, Young Adult Life Orientation brought to you by Women of Africa Care, sponsored by Gospel for Grampian UK radio station founders Rob and Helen Rowe. So every Sunday and Monday, we bring an episode to you relating to youth empowerment and inspiration, and you get to download the Podbean from the Gospel for Grampian Podbean. So please subscribe, because if you cannot tune into the air show on Mondays and Sundays, then you get the opportunity to download the Podbean and be inspired at any time, anywhere. Youth, today we are going to be talking about Jesus's love makes your world go round. Yes, episode 23 is Jesus's love makes your world go round. Notice I didn't say your husband or wife's love makes your world go round, or your career makes your world go round, or your money makes your world go round, or your body makes your world go round, or your friends and family make your world go round. No, I said Jesus's love makes your world go round. You heard right. And what is your world? Your world is your family. Your world is your community. Your world is your place of influence, where it can be the place that you're studying, university, college. It can be in the place where you're working, your vocation, your profession. It can be your place where you hang out with your community. That is your world. Any place where you influence, where you have purpose in, that is your world. And I'm saying to you today, it is Jesus's love that makes your world go round. Imagine if the current world, the current earth, had to stop spinning and it doesn't go round. Everything will be come to a chaos. When the world stops spinning, everything will come to a chaos. The laws of gravity will not come into effect, and everything will be a chaos. Now, that's the same with you, dear youth. When you don't experience and allow the love of Jesus to consume your life, then wherever you are influencing, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your work, whether it be in your community, whether it be in your marriage, it will fall apart. There will not be any love gravity to keep your life spinning and making it go round, making your world go round in your family, in your community, in your marriage, because you need the love of God. That is the gravity. God's love is the gravity that gives you purpose and makes you find fulfillment in the places that God has called you to fulfill. And why am I talking about Jesus's love makes your world go round? It's because when we put our hope and confidence and reliance and dependency on anything but God to fill our love tank, then we are going to be disappointed, discouraged, and we are going to fall apart. Just like what happened in the account of the statistics that I'm going to read out to you now. There was a abstract study done on 4,019 youth that completed the study based on, not completed the study, sorry. These 4,019 youth had contacted a kids counseling helpline to get help. And so that helpline statistics brought this abstract study that confirmed that romance started at an early age causes trauma in youth. So this study is an article by the National Library of Medicine, USA. They published an article called Young Love, Romantic Concerns and Associated Mental Health Issues Amongst Adolescent Help Seekers. So these 4,019 help seekers contacted this help center to get help because they were going through relationship issues, and that relationship issues traumatized them. And so this article, this abstract, is saying that romantic relationships have been found to impact psychosocial development and mental health during adolescence. For example, frequent or early dating and dating multiple partners has been linked with behavioral issues such as poor academics, performance, poor employment prospects, increased delinquency. And similarly, several studies have found elevated levels of stress, anxiety, depressive symptoms among adolescents who engage in romantic experiences early in life. The breakup stage of the romance was examined in the study, and it highlighted that over 50% of young people that started dating at the age of 15 between the ages of 10 and 18, where the 4,019 help seekers were evaluated. And so here you get it now. Youth, children between the ages of 10 and 19 are calling in a national help center to get help on relationship issues. And it says here that their relationship issues were associated to their mental health problems, self-harm, suicide risk. And it says here that 22.6% of them in relationship issues were provoked into self-harming, where they self-injure themselves. 36.8% of breakups had mental health issues. 9.9% of breakups ended up in suicide. And so the key words that these children put up when they sought help by the help counselors were youth, romance, mental health, suicide, self-harm, self-injury, help-seeking, relationship, and breakup. So here you see it, youth. When you decide to open love before time, you end up seeking the help of seeking fellow human beings to develop you. I love what Caroline Leaf says. She's a brain scientist and she studies the brain. And she says that she doesn't encourage anybody to date under the age of 18. She says because under the age of 18, your body is still forming. You're still going through a metamorphosis in terms of infancy and adolescence. So your body is forming. Your hormones are coming into formation, etc. So when you decide to date in that period, you are creating chaos. You are stopping your world from spinning because now your world needs to be going around through the love of a paternal figure, not the love of fellow human being. Your body is not ready for Eros love, which is the love of a couple, which happens in marriage. Your love is only, your body is only ready for a father's love, a parent's love. And that love you find in Christ. And so when you decide under the age of 18 to explore love in the Eros capacity at that young age, you are opening yourself for disappointment and discouragement because your brain is not mature to handle that kind of love. It comes with responsibility. It comes with maturity. And if you don't have that maturity and responsibility, your body cannot handle the temptations that it brings. Therefore, children end up in addictions and suicide because they are depending on something to validate them when they're still trying to identify themselves. They're not yet fully formed in terms of an adult formation. They are metamorphosizing from an infancy into a young adult. And in that metamorphosis process, they cannot allow other human beings to validate them and define them in that same group level. They need to find the validation through a paternal figure. And that paternal figure is our eternal God. If you don't get that love of a father in your home or the love of your mother in your home, then it causes you to go into relationships to find that love. And therefore you get broken because hurting people hurt people. When you are in relationship under the age of maturity, you are hurting. You are still developing. You are still finding yourself. You are going to hurt the other person and the other person's going to hurt you because they also still trying to find themselves. So broken people cannot give you unconditional love. People that are going through metamorphosis cannot give you a whole unconditional love because they're still trying to find themselves in themselves. So I encourage you, youth today, please, if you're under the age of 18, do not entertain Eros love. Do not entertain romantic love. It is not for the time for romantic love. It is the time for storge love, which is family love. And that love you get through your parents, through your family. And if it is void in your family, then you go straight into the throne room of grace, which is the love of Abba Father. And let that love fill you up because God made parents to help you children love you the way God loves you. So parents are there to love you through God's love. And if you don't have a parent or if you have a home where it's dysfunctional and you cannot enjoy that parental love, then you need to go to Jesus Christ because his love consumes every area of your life, making you 100% whole and complete. Therefore, you will never have to go and find validation and acceptance by other people as you try to find yourself as a young adult. Okay? Youth, listen to me. It is the love of Jesus that is going to make your world go round, not the love of people when you're still trying to find yourself. I think about myself. I grew up in a dysfunctional home, so I didn't experience the love of a father. I was born again. I loved Jesus because I was born a Christian. I would speak in tongues, etc. But because I yearned for a love of a father and I didn't know the love of Abba Father, I knew about God. I spoke in tongues. I enjoyed praise and worship, but that just happened on a Sunday. So I wasn't mature in my Christianity to know that I could have a love relationship with God every day. So only on a Sunday and on a Wednesday when it was youth life group that I would experience the love of God through worship and through hanging around community of believers. And I would experience the love of God through worship and praise. But any other day apart from Sunday and Wednesday, I did not know that I must have a personal relationship with the Lord. So I would thrive and need. I become needy for the love of my father and the love of my mother. But because there was a dysfunctional in my home between my parents, that their dysfunctional relationship caused violence and division and strife and chaos in our home. So love of a parent was extremely void in our home, extremely void, because they were trying to deal with their issues as a couple. And because they couldn't love one another, they were unable to express God's love to us because they didn't even know what love was. And so I ended up seeking at the age of 16, the love of a fellow human being to complement and fill that love that I didn't get, which was I needed a paternal love. So I dated a guy 8 years older than me to get that love. And it didn't work out. It didn't work out. And from there on, I went from one relationship to another, one human relationship to another, to find that unconditional paternal love that I needed. And because I was messed up while I was metamorphosizing by a relationship love, a romantic love, because my mind was mentally affected by the rejection and that negative impact of that relationship at 16, in a time where I was still developing as a person, I now condition myself to that depressed, messed up state. And therefore, over a period of years into young adulthood, into adulthood, I was having a void of love relationship. I went from one relationship to another to find that love that I could never find. And I couldn't find it because every love relationship I went into was conditional. Human love is conditional. Unless a person is born again and is abiding in God, their love toward you will always be conditional. As in, if you do for me, I'm going to do for you. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. It's a tit for tat. That love is measured by what you do for me and how I'm going to do for you. There's no unconditional. I'm not going to love you selflessly. That human love is not selfless love. It is selfish love. Give and take. I'm going to reciprocate what you do for me. I'm going to give it back to you. That is what human love. It is conditional and it is measurable. It doesn't transcend beyond time and space and limitations. It has boundaries. And so every relationship I went through, it was limited by conditional love. And because it was conditional, I experienced rejection. I experienced abandonment. I experienced loneliness. And as a result, I ended up cheating in my relationships because I was trying to find love. I went searching for love in human beings. And because I was broken and I was rejected, even if there was something good out there, I couldn't even receive it. I always thought there was an ulterior motive of why a person loved me in that way, because I'm rejected and abandoned. So if I don't like myself and I feel that I can't love myself, and if you love me, what is your motive? So that is how it was. It was a total mess. And eventually, I got to a point just like these adolescents where they called in the helpline because some of them are suicidal or they needed help. They were mentally depressed. I became suicidal at the age of 32 because my relationships were just not working out and my world had stopped spinning. I lost life. I felt like my life had just come to a standstill and it is now the time for me to commit suicide. So I went into the bathroom to go and do some self-injury on myself. And I just had this unction to go and lay on the bed. And at this time of my life, at the age of 32, I'd backslided for 12 years into I backslided from Christianity and I went into another religion. And that religion, the Bible says that Jesus is the truth and the way to eternal life, and Jesus is the living God. And so any other religion is not the living God. So if you worship anything but God, but Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit, because the Trinity is God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came to reveal to us the Father and his love. And the Holy Spirit now lives with us as born-again Christians to reveal to us the love of the Father, Son, and himself. Imagine that Holy Spirit loves us so much that he lives with us with our sin and imperfection. Hey, he loves us so much. And so before embracing that love, I'd now backslided for 12 years because of the dysfunction in our home growing up as a Christian. I didn't have enough time to have the solid foundation of the love of God because I was affected by the paternal love that was absent in our home. And then I went into human love and breakups, which affected me. So I backslided and I became rebellious. And in that 12 years of rebellion, I went into another religion. So that's a dead religion because it's not the way, truth and the way and the light. And so I didn't have any love. And so I'm at the point now where my world is not spinning because Jesus's love makes my world go round. And I lost that love at a very young age. And so my life is at a standstill. I'm in rebellion, worshiping idols. And I now go to the bathroom to kill myself. And suddenly I feel led to go lay on the bed. And when I laid on the bed, I went into an extremely deep sleep for about 3 hours. And then I woke up with a vision. And in that vision, I saw a hand from in the air coming towards my hand and holding my hand. And the words of the person that held my hand said, "I never left you nor forsake you. You left me." And when I listened to those words, I remembered those are the words from the Bible that I remembered growing up. And immediately I remembered that that is God. That is Jesus. Because now remember now when I was at the time of committing suicide and I went to go and, do self-injury, I spoke out and I said, "Is there any God out there? Is God real? Is there any God out there? Can you help me?" And then I had this unction to go lay on the bed and suddenly I sleep for 3 hours, get this vision. And when this word came to me, I realized that there is a God out there and his name is Jesus, because the Bible is the only, the Holy Scriptures, it is only in the Bible that I hear those words, "I've never left you nor forsake you." And in the Bible, you see many scriptures where it says the hand of God saved them. The hand of God came and pulled them out of that situation. The hand of God delivered them. The hand of God fights their battles. And so I remember that this is Jesus. He's alive and he's real. Just the thought of him showing me that he's rescued me and he's saving me had given me rest and peace. So all thoughts of suicide disappeared. And then my ex-husband came to me and said, "How are we going to make the marriage work? Because remember now, I'm in this relationship where I backslide and I'm not depending on his conditional love and it just didn't work. And I made some messes and I cheated in the relationship because I'm seeking love in the wrong places because no one I'm loving can fulfill me. There's a void in my lump tank and nobody can fill that up." And so when my ex-husband came and said to me, "How can we make the marriage work? Let's go for counseling." I said to him, "I need Jesus back." Because I remember I backslid. And when I said I need Jesus back, he went further away from me. And then my love relationship with Jesus began. And when that love relationship began, my world started spinning again. I started finding myself in Jesus, dear youth. I started loving who I am. The more I loved who I am in Christ, the further away my ex-husband went from me. And thank God for that, because I needed that space alone to love who I am in Christ. In finding Jesus and how much he loves me, I realized that being whole requires me to know his love, because it is Jesus's love that makes our world go round. I love what David says in Psalms 36:5. He says, "Your love Lord, reaches to the heavens. It transcends beyond time, space, matter. It extends into eternity because eternity brought love on the earth. Think about it, youth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Meaning the minute we become born again, eternity is in us and eternity is with us. That means we have that agape love of God that transcends all time and space and understanding at our disposal, that fills our love tank overflowing every day. That means because we are now connected to eternal love, because the word of God says God is love. That means we are connected to eternal love. We are one with eternal love. That means I will never have a void of rejection and abandonment. The only time I have that void is when I put my dependency on humans to fill my love tank rather than God. A marriage cannot be successful if they do not have the love of God present in the marriage. Think about it, dear youth. The word of God says, husbands, love your wives the way Jesus loved the church and gave his life for the church. What is God saying to the husbands? You got to have unconditional agape love, God kind of love for your spouse. So there's three types of love I'm going to be talking about today. The eros love, which is a love between a married couple. And so if you're between the ages of 15 and 35 and you're in a marriage, then the eros love for you is going to work if you allow God's love to transcend you as individuals. Because if you as an individual experience the love of God in your life and your spouse experiences the love of God in their life, then your marriage will go round. The love of God will make your marriage go round and be healthy. God's love is the gravity that's going to hold your love, your marriage together, not your love. I remembered in my marriage that because the love of God was absent, even though we were Christians, the love of God was absent in my marriage. And I got remarried at the age of 38. And I married a Christian man. And because the love of God was absent in our lives, we were not able to love each other through the agape love of God. Therefore, the eros love in our marriage brought a lot of disappointment and discouragement and failure. Why? Because we didn't let the agape love of God to be the center of our lives as individuals. Because only when we as individuals embrace God's agape love, Jesus's love, then we can give up that selfless love towards one another. Then there's no more conditions to our love. Therefore, we don't feel rejected and abandoned. And I remembered that I ended up feeling rejected and abandoned and afraid and intimidated and insecure about my love, my relationship with my husband, because I was not getting that God kind of love that he was supposed to give me. He was unable to love me the way Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church because he didn't embrace that God kind of love in his life. Therefore, he couldn't love me that way. And then we as parents, because we were so rejected and abandoned, because we didn't understand that to love each other, we needed God's love where it's unconditional. We battled in giving that paternal love to our children. Therefore, our children felt rejected and abandoned by us because we were a blended family. And we couldn't love the adopted children the way God loves us as adopted children. The word of God says God loves us the way he loves Jesus Christ, because he calls us joint heirs in Christ Jesus. That means we have the same inheritance as Christ Jesus does, because he calls us his children. He loves us. He loves us so much that before he even adopted us, he'd already sent Jesus to die for us so that we can be adopted into his family. That is what unconditional love is. And so my husband and I battled to love one another and battled to love the children in our blended family, even though I knew, dear youth, that the word of God says that the spiritual is more solid than the flesh. That means the biological love of a human parent is not as genuine as the spiritual love that comes from the Father. So spiritual love is thicker than biological love. You know, you hear the statement, blood is thicker than water. I can tell you, the love of God in our life is thicker than the biological love of of human beings. So when you have a blended family, if you have the spiritual love of the Father, your love as a blended family should be glued together with agape love. It surpasses the boundaries of biological birth. It surpasses that. It transcends biological love boundaries because it is the love of the Father. And so we picked up, dear youth, that we couldn't love our children with that spiritual love. And therefore we had conditional love, which was a failed love because it was conditional, because we based it on blended and not an eternal, unconditional love. And so we began to see the division, the strife, the disunity, because you're not my biological child or you're not my biological parent. Therefore, we will never have the divine connection of parent and child. Meanwhile, it was a lie from the enemy because we conditioned our minds to allow the biological boundaries to shape our love for one another rather than the love of God, which transcends boundaries of biology and bloodlines, etc. And that is the love of Jesus. And so I want to remind you today that whether you're in a blended family or whether you're an orphan or parentless youth, I want you to know that you can overcome this conditional love and the issues of rejection and abandonment that often state or rejection in your homes have presented to you. You can overcome that and let God make your world go around again, not stop and perish, but let you have purpose and live again, because you know you have an eternal love that surpasses the boundaries of conditions. It is unconditional. Like David says, your love reaches to the heavens. And Jesus loved us so much that he said to the Father, I will offer myself as a living sacrifice. The Father had already made a commitment when Adam and Eve had sinned. He showed his love toward them by covering their shame and disgrace. He did not condemn them when they opened up themselves to sin. They hid themselves in the garden because they were ashamed of their nakedness. And he still said to them, who told you you were naked? He didn't condemn them and say you were naked. He didn't. They were the ones who self-condemned themselves because they were disgraced and ashamed by their sinful nature. He loved them so much that he took an animal. Everything that God created was good. Animals were never created to be killed and slaughtered. But he slaughtered an animal to release the blood of that animal to cover their sins, to atone for their sins. And he took the skin and he covered their shame. The idea of the slaughtering of the animal and covering their bodies was God covering their shame, because he didn't see them shameful. They saw themselves shameful. And he wanted to assure them, hey, listen, I love you, shame and all. If you think you have sinned and you think you have shame, I love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter. And therefore, he showed his love to us already in the garden when he took an animal and slaughtered it and covered their shame and disgrace. And then when he gave judgment, youth, when God gave judgment to Adam and Eve and the serpent, he said to the serpent, the devil, referring to the devil, he said, a seed of the woman will bruise your head. Already then and there, God the Father had already planned a rescue mission to save humanity, because we were created in the image of God. Every human being was created in the image of God through Adam and Eve. When God made Adam and Eve, he said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, in our kind. And so when God made us, it's as if, you know, when you have a biological family, the parents decide they want to have a family. So they now start consummating in sexual intimacy so that they can procreate a family. So when God created Adam and Eve, he was creating his family. So when they had sinned, it hurt him, because now he knew that they were going to separate themselves from him, because he knew the sin nature causes people to separate themselves from God. So already he knew now that he is going to be separated from everybody that is going to be born through Adam and Eve because of the sin nature in them, and because now the devil has territory and domain of the earth. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they sold their birthrights of the earth domain towards the devil. So God knew that the devil was going to come now and tempt every single human being that is born through Adam and Eve and sway them away from their birthrights with God. So God already in that garden, 63 generations before Jesus would come to the earth, had said to the devil, a seed of this woman would bruise your head, meaning I've got a plan where I am going to restore my children unto me. And so, yes, Jesus then said to the Father, pick me. I'll be that human sacrifice to pay for all the sins of human beings. So Jesus, who was God in the beginning of creation, left his home in heaven and was incarnated into the womb of Mary 63 generations after Adam and Eve had sinned to come and restore that life that God had with Adam and Eve to all humanity, restoring that family life that God had created Adam and Eve for. And that is how much God loves that, that even between the time of Adam and Eve up until Jesus was born, there was so much wickedness on the earth by human beings. But Jesus still came. And when he died on that cross, he died for every past human sin, current human sin, and future human sin. He didn't come on condition that if you're good, I'm going to come to the earth. If you behave, if you do these certain things, if you be nice, I'm going to come for you. No, while we were still sinning, he had come on the earth, unconditional love. He came, he broke boundaries. He came beyond the third heaven boundaries into the natural earth, in the womb of a woman. The Bible says in John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory. The very Word that was in the beginning of creation came with us, and we held his glory. We saw him, we walked with him, we talked with him, we fellowshiped with him, referring to Jesus Christ. That God who loved us in eternity came into a time and space and matter environment to save us so that we can be reconciled to that eternity environment with him and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That is the love of Jesus. It makes our life go round because we don't only have an earthly inheritance now that he paid that price on the cross, but we have an eternal inheritance. And that is the love of Jesus. He restores unto us purpose. He restores unto us his love so that we can love in a marriage relationship with God's love, so that we can love our families with God's love. Look what happened in the Garden of Eden. The first two children that were born through Adam and Eve was Abel and Cain. Look what happened. The hatred that just was imposed on the very first two children, that Cain killed Abel. Can you see? They didn't have any storge love. They couldn't experience the love of a family. Storge love is the love of a family. Philia love is the love of friendship. Eros love is the love of a married couple. So we see here now Cain and Abel being of siblings could not enjoy the storge love, the love of a family toward one another, the sibling love. Because why? The devil's love, the devil is wicked. He's not love, he's hatred. And so he brought hatred upon the children through sin entering the earth and entering their lives, that they killed one another. So their world could not go round because they didn't have the love of Jesus. They did not experience the love of God because the devil came and polluted humanity with evil and wickedness. And so Jesus comes and he restores unto us love so that we can have healthy marital love, which is Eros love, a healthy marital love where Jesus is the glue, that Jesus, who is love, sticks a married couple together. Therefore, they are solid and they are unified in an eternal agape love as a couple. Then Jesus's love bring storge love into families where you don't live divided and jealous and envious and pulling one another down and in strife. You are living together in unity, bearing with one another, showing mercy and compassion towards one another. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about it. I'm going to go through it shortly. And then you get to enjoy good relationships, like the relationship between Jonathan and David. It was a good friendship relationship, like the relationship between Jesus and the disciples. He says, I no longer call you my disciples, but I call you friends. You can enjoy that kind of love when you know the love of Jesus, like the relationship between Abraham and Abba Father, where Abraham, Jesus, God the Father said to Abraham, I now call you friend. You are a friend of God. Why? Because Abraham understood the love of God. He fellowshipped with God. He understood the love of God. Therefore, you now begin to enjoy true and genuine friendships with God and one another because you have the love of Jesus. I love what I'm going to talk about an article here by neuroscientist Stephanie Capillo. She wrote a article or a book called Wired for Love. And she says here that when she was going to write the article about love, she thought that she was asked the question, can we do without love? And she said that she answered, yes, we can do without love. And she was the only child in her family. In her 20s and 30s, she was single. And so when she wrote the article about Wired for Love, she thought she could be very objective in writing the book because she hasn't experienced love and she survived and she's happy and she's going to see how interesting her objectiveness is going to be in writing this book. And lo and behold, at the age of 37 in 2011, she meets a guy called John Capicorpio, and he was a neuroscientist like her, and they fell in love and they got married. And then she realized, my gosh, can we live without love? No, you cannot live without love. She was asked the question, is love necessary for survival? And she says, love is a biological necessity, just like water and food and exercise. She said that her research has convinced her that a healthy love life is necessary, and you can get a healthy love life through your partner, which is Eros love and marriage, or a healthy love life through close friendships, which is the philia love, which is friendship love. And then you can get healthy love through community, which is your, family, which is your storge love, which is family love. So she says, yes, love is a biological necessity. And then she says this one, which I don't agree with. She says here, the question was, what advice do you have for those who struggle to find love or connect with love? She says, love doesn't have to be a living person. If you are really in love with life or with passion or with your hobby, it can get rid of loneliness. Now, I disagree with that because I've just said to you that love is a person. Every human being was created from love. God is love. Scripture tells us God is love. And so love created us. And so we are created in love for love. And so for us to enjoy love, for us to understand that we cannot survive with love, then we need to love the person Jesus Christ, because love is a person. So without us enjoying and experiencing the love of Jesus, who is a person and who is God, then we will never be able to get rid of loneliness, isolation, and we will never be able to be fulfilled. Just like you need water to survive and air to survive, without the love of Jesus, you will not survive. Like we see now in my own life, as shared to you, that until I experienced the agape love of God, I felt like I was in a drought when it came to relationship with family, when it came to relationship in my family, when it came to relationship in my communities. I experienced drought. I experienced famine. I experienced barrenness. I experienced isolation. I experienced desolation because I did not have the love of the Father. So you can have the love of God. You can have many people around you and still be lonely. You can be married and still be lonely because I was married and I was lonely. You can have a whole family around you and you can still be lonely. I mean, I think about it. I was the youngest child of four siblings, and I still felt rejected and abandoned because I didn't feel the love of my father and mother. And so I experienced rejection and abandonment. I was married twice, and in my marriages, it felt because the love was based on condition, not the agape love of God. And therefore, I experienced rejection and abandonment in marriage. I have two beautiful sons. And having children doesn't mean that my world's going to go round if I don't have the love of God. So we see that to survive on the earth as an individual and as a collective, we need the love of God. And just like without water, you can't survive, and without air, you can't survive, On the earth, you cannot survive on your own and amongst other people in the absence of God's love, because you will be living a wicked life of jealousy, envy, murder, killing, hatred, envy, resentment, and everything wicked. That is not surviving. That is wickedness. That is dying. That is death. That is isolation. That is insecurity. That is fear. When you don't have the love of God, the word of God says in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out all fear, for fear torments. So if you don't have the love of God, then you are in relationships that are insecure. It causes fear. You are in a marriage that is insecure. Therefore, you feel rejected and you are threatened in the marriage. Nothing, no earthly relationship can be healthy if you do not experience the love of Jesus. I love what Annalise Jolly wrote an article on 12 February 2024. And she says here, this was publicized in the John Templeton Foundation. She says that without love, we perish. She says that love is essential for individuals and collective survival. She says that love is so big enough that you cannot wrap it in a single definition. Of course, we just said now that our beautiful David wrote in Psalm 36:5 that love is so, God's love is so great, it goes beyond the skies and it extends to the heavenlies. So love cannot be defined in a sentence. Love is defined in Jesus Christ. Love is defined in a person that is Jesus Christ. Love is defined in Abba Father, who is our eternal Father, that already promised Adam and Eve that I have got a rescue plan. Devil, you are going to be defeated. I have a rescue plan to save my family. Holy Spirit demonstrates God's love because he's come to dwell in us. When we became born again, immediately the Holy Spirit came to live with us. That is how much God loves us. Jesus loves us so much. He told the disciples, I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm never leaving you and I'm never forsaking you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And he's going to reveal all things that I told you and things that I need you to know. He is with you and he'll stay with you to the end and he's going to help you. God loves us so much that he not only sent us the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and righteousness and to navigate the kingdom of God on the earth. But God also sent us angels, supernatural beings that are bodyguards that protect us and that keep us safe so that we do not strike our feet against the hardness of this world, against the wickedness of this world. We have authority to tramp down the things of the devil because we have been given authority, which is Jesus' word spoken through the Holy Spirit, inspired into our lives to help us live on the earth. That is unconditional love, that even when we sin, the Spirit of the Lord still lives in us, being graceful and merciful, hoping that we will listen to him and turn from our wicked ways. That is what the love of God does. Let's look at what Romans 8:35 says. God's everlasting love, it transcends time, space, challenges, matter. Look at what it says. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So here you're saying that God is not just saving us and restoring us to him, but he's giving us all things pertaining to death and life. We have an inheritance on the earth and eternity. He says here, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is God, Jesus, who died and furthermore is risen, who is at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Jesus defends us. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, Gospel for Grampian Youth, that the accuser, which is the devil, goes to God day and night accusing us Christians to God. But here God is telling us he loves us so much that he defends us. Jesus intercedes for us. He intercedes for us in heaven as the eternal high priest. So whenever the devil comes and accuses us, Jesus is interceding for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, Paul is saying, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. For we are persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything created shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here, beautiful youth, Paul is saying to us that God's love is transcendent. It is unconditional. It is immeasurable. That nothing, no situation, no depth, no length, no breadth, no the lowest of the poor of the earth, the highest of the universe, the wideness of the universe cannot separate us from this unconditional, everlasting, immeasurable, uncontainable love. The love of God is so, it's uncontainable. Containable means you can put it in a container and seal it and it's stuck in the container. God's love is uncontainable, that nothing in the universe can keep it away from us. Wherever we go, I love what David says, if I go to the bottomless pit or if I go to the highest mountain, you will find me. And that is what God's love is, that no matter where you are in life, his love is there. You just have to tap in it, dear youth. Just like me, I tapped into it at the age of 32 when I didn't know what love meant at all, because I grew up in a home that was dysfunctional. So I didn't know a love of a family. I didn't know the love of a romantic love, because I was rejected and abandonment, and I attracted people that equally didn't know the love of God. So we were hurting one another. And here at the age of 32, I finally said, it's either I kill myself or there must be a supernatural God out there that can help. And suddenly God rescued me instantly, and I began to experience that love of God. And I can say, like Paul today, that his love transcends the universe. It transcends eternity, because Jesus's hand transcended the heavens, came into the earthly environment, into the natural, into my room, and in a vision he showed me, I've never left you nor forsake you. It transcended my situation. I backslided 12 years ago before I called on him to help me that day. And when I backslided, I did the worst sins under the sun. I drank, I committed adultery, I did the worst things ever. I was an alcoholic, etc. And yet when I called on him, he didn't look at the shame and the nakedness of my past to say, you don't deserve me to help you. He just came instantly. I didn't even give my life back to him that day when I called. I just said, is there any God out there? Can you rescue me? And here God came into my room and says, here I am. I'm the living God and I'm going to rescue you. While I am in sin, while I'm an unbeliever, I called on a universal God to help me, and God came. And that's what it says here in the scripture. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors, for we are persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor anything, nor powers, nor sin, nor shame, nor nakedness, nor peril, nor sword, nor distress can separate us from that love of God. And that is what the love of God is. That is the agape love of God. It is unconditional, and nothing can stop God from loving you. You cannot stop God from loving you. The devil cannot stop God from loving you. Your circumstances cannot separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, youth. And if you can comprehend that love of God, it is his love that will make your world go round. Because yes, we were created to be a family on the earth. Family, we're supposed to be a family with our earth family, with our biological family. God designed us to be people that can procreate. So he encourages us. Man cannot live alone. He said to Adam, you cannot live alone. So God designed marriage. And in marriage, you can love that eros love with the agape love of God, that unconditional love of God. In family, you can love one another with that unconditional love of agape love, because God is our family and he loves us that way. He loves Jesus. He loves us the same love he loves Jesus. And so we are designed to love and designed to be loved. And so when we are able to receive Jesus's love, which is unconditional, then we can give of his love. And it is his love that allows people to reciprocate that kind of love back to us, even though we're not looking for them to love us in that way, because we are full with the love of God. I love what Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2:4-8 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we were saved, and he raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." That is what love does. That when Jesus was resurrected and sits at the right hand side of the Father, we have that kind of dominion and authority on the earth as in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. As Christ is on the in the heaven, so are we on the earth in dominion and authority on the earth. That's how much he loves us, that we didn't earn that dominion and authority. We didn't even earn his righteousness. Our spirit is as righteous as Christ's spirit. We have Christ's righteousness in our spirit, man. We haven't earned or deserved that righteousness. It is a gift. I love what Proverbs 3:11-12 says. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom God loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights." God loves us so much that he corrects us. He doesn't abandon us. A father, when he disciplines you, he doesn't abandon you. He gives you correction, but he still loves you as a loving daddy. And that's the love of the father, that he corrects those who he loves. He doesn't reject us. He doesn't abandon us, but he corrects us because he loves us. There's three types of love gospel for Grampian youth. There's that eros love, which I talk about, the marital love, the storge love, which is the family and close friends love. And then there's the philia love, which is the friendship love. And I say, gospel for Grampian youth, when we allow the unconditional love of Jesus to be the love that makes us whole, then that love in us, which is the love of Jesus, will glue our marital love, will glue our family loves, and will glue our friendship loves. Therefore, we have genuine friendships because we are genuine to them with the unconditional love of God. We have genuine family love because we have the unconditional love of God that glues our family love, because unconditional love flows through us. We are genuine in our marriage. It's unconditional because it's the unconditional love that glues our eros love. I love what Galatians 5:22-23 says. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against there is such no law." So here, when we walk in Christ's love, then it is his nature that we exhibit outwardly. And so when our families and our spouse and our communities and our friends see us, they see the nature of Christ in us, because the love of God in us makes us radiate the nature of God, which is the fruits of God, which is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, meekness, self-control, and faithfulness. That's the love that our spouses, our friends, and our families see in us. They see the fruit of God's love coming forth through us, because we enjoying the love of Jesus. It makes our world go round. It makes our family life healthy. It makes our marriages healthy. It makes our friendships healthy. I love this year in 1 Corinthians 13:1-13, it says to us that the greatest gift we have is the love of God. The love of God is the greatest gift. Love is the greatest gift of the universe. That is why I say love makes the world go round. Who created the world? God. So who makes the world go round? God. Just like God makes the world go round, his love makes our lives go around, meaning we have purpose, we have satisfaction, we have fulfillment, we are blessed, we are loved, and we are loved, because love is a gift. It comes from Jesus Christ. You don't earn it. You haven't deserved it. It is unconditional. Your trespasses, your nakedness, etc., will not be able to separate you from the love of God, because while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Beautiful youth. I love it. I'm going to speak about the greatest gift, which is love, called in written in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits nothing." So he says here that you can give all the sacrifices, and you can be a martyr, and you can be a praise and worship leader, you can be a minister, here. You can have all the gifts of God and use your gifts on the earth. But if you don't have the love of God, those gifts and those serving means nothing. I remembered what God said to, in Matthew, when he was doing judgment, he was prophesying about judgment, and he says, "Depart from me, I do not know you." And the servant says, "But God, I did this in your name and that in your name." And he says, "No, I do not know you." Why? Because they didn't exhibit the love of God. Because he said, "When I needed water, you didn't give me water. When I needed clothing, you didn't give me clothing." And he was talking, and the servant says, "But where were you? When did you ask me for water?" He says, "When you gave, when the least of these asked you for water, it was me asking. You were serving me." So he was talking here that the love of God causes you to do good. And so if you do serving outside love, your serving means nothing. He will say, "Depart from me, you evil servant." Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not jealous. Love is not prideful. Love is not rude. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not think evil. Love does not rejoice in sin, but it rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love is enduring. It endures all things. Jesus showed us how he endured all things. Imagine 63 generations, and finally Jesus came. He endured the time where Abraham and God had to cut covenant and create an earthly family in order for Jesus to come through that lineage of that family, which took 63 years to bring that family into the state that it could be in order for him to be born through Mary. That is love enduring, because in that time Israel had committed so much of wickedness that to and fro they were running to God, running from God, and yet you've seen his mercy show up all the time whenever they cried out to God. That is love. It endures all things. It bears all things. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will cease. It will vanish away. But God's love does not vanish away. It says here, the three of these exist: faith, hope, and love. But he says, of the three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is the love, and that is the love of God. And we see the love of God in this 1 Corinthians chapter demonstrated through the life of Jesus, the life of Abba Father, and the life of Holy Spirit coming to the earth at different times from creation to reconcile man to God. God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, he told Moses, "Build a tabernacle so that my presence can live amongst them." Imagine that, how much of love, that he came beyond the eternity, beyond the heavenlies, and he confined himself in an earthly tabernacle built by man just to be with us. That is love. That is love, that he actually confined himself in a temple, Solomon's temple, in order to be amongst his people. That is how much love is, because his kingdom, which is eternal, is pure, holy, magnificent, glorious. But he came into an earthly temple that was not magnificent and not glorious to just dwell amongst us. That is how much love is, that it goes beyond time and space and matter and conditions. The love of Jesus, it fills us up so that we never run on empty tank, dear Gospel for Grampian listeners. Ephesians 3:14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, which is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Here, I just love how Paul describes that the love of God is transcendent. It transcends the depth, the height, the length, the breadth. You can only comprehend the fullness of God in his love through Christ Jesus. And he says, "You are now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to his power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations." This is the blessing that comes to us. We have exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask, think, for us, God, because we are embracing the love of Jesus. So today, dear youth, if anything, I want you to know that love perfects you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. So today, if you're experiencing rejection, abandonment, I want you to let go of it by embracing the love of Jesus, which transcends anything or you desire or look to fill your love tank. Jesus's love in your life will never cause you to experience rejection and abandonment ever, because it fills you up. It's more than enough for every day, for every situation, for every circumstance. I love you, dear youth, and I want to encourage you today. Jesus's love makes your world go round. Be blessed.